Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, NPC.
What are we drinking?
Ooh. Well, our drink for this session is a Game On IPA from Level Beer, Barn Brewed in Portland, Oregon. Beer with balance, they say. A big, juicy citrus hop aroma with lots of hop flavor and moderate bitterness balanced by a smooth malt backbone at 6.5% alcohol.
You know, I've actually been to Level One before. It is a very cool spot.
Well, that's excellent, because I'm about to ask you a question, Xander.
Yes?
What is Barn Brewed?
Brewed in a barn.
I mean, that seemed pretty direct. That was like...
Is it just
of all the things that I just said, that's the one?
Is it just that it's brewed in a barn, or is it more than that?
I don't know, actually.
We should find out.
But the can is it's got an IPA can, and it looks like a basically
Mario,
like it was made out of a Mario, Super Mario Brothers, the original. Like it's got everything structured just like it. World 1-1 time counter. Yeah, the little bricks are even in the same shape.
There is a character on the can that is functionally different from Mario.
Yeah, because that's
legally just, different.
Yes, legally different.
Well, that character is just your typical Portlander.
Yeah, he's got a beard and the glasses and overalls for some reason.
Yeah.
He's waving what looks like a, you know what? Actually, I think that is a morning star.
Yes.
I think he's about to start bashing those evil hops in.
Ooh. Mm. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Mm. India Pale Ale. Let's see. A big, juicy citrus hop.
He already
aroma?
Read
that. Okay, I'm just looking at seeing the stats.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what my mouth is getting into.
Speaking of things your mouth is getting into.
Well, this is Biker Dice and Bars. As always, he's...
NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
I'm Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's and, a good beer.
This is a good beer, yeah.
Oh, my God, this is the most non-Northwest IPA I've had in a long time, and I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not overtly bitter. It's got that nice kind of tropical notes to it, I think. It's not, like, this is a very, very drinkable IPA. I think for someone who actually doesn't really like IPAs, I would recommend this one just to kind of get them into them.
Yeah, this isn't foul.
Yeah.
This was a, kind of doing a little bit of a segue into our discussion topic today. This was something that I acquired on my recent run through a number of bottle shops and big liquor stores with beer coolers over the last couple of weeks, is that I saw this. I was like, okay, I got to get this six pack. We're a podcast that frequently talks about gaming. Sure. We need some of this Game On IPA.
Yeah, it's not super piney.
No. NPC, would you say this beer is out of this world?
I wouldn't say it's out of this world. It actually kind of brings me down, not down, brings me down to earth with its simplicity and flavor. It's not overwhelming like a lot of IPAs are for me. But I bought it because it was a distraction. I just saw it. I was like, I got to get that for the podcast because I was actually on a beer run for another project I'm working on involving space beer and space games. But space games, that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
That's what I was alluding to for the out of the world thing. That
I thought you were talking about the 1980s, 1990s sitcom Out of This World, where the girl could press her hands together and freeze time and then put her fingers together. And or maybe it was the other way around.
Don't worry, Xander. Just smile and nod.
It was one of...
It was, sit here and look pretty. I got you, boo.
Am I the only person who remembers this sitcom?
I think it only lasted one season. There's a good reason.
I think it might have had two seasons. I do know that Burt Reynolds was the voice of the alien dad. Yeah.
Yes, Sander. Yeah. I suddenly feel like there might be need to be nights where NPC and Just Jacob educate Xander on these gems of late 70s, 80s, and early 90s culture that Xander was a fetus for.
Okay, Xander, serious question. Have you seen Smokey and the Bandit? The Burt Reynolds movie.
I'm going to see myself out now.
Okay.
Have you seen The Rockford Files?
I will see myself out now.
Oh, my God.
Well, okay, first off, The Rockford Files is actually something that I would have considered to be a staple of Xander's everything, because it
has the Xander
Sam vibe. Rockford, yep. And Xander could be best friends.
Absolutely. You know?
Anyway, Smokey and the Bandit is a movie that takes place in the 1970s. It was filmed in the 1970s about Burt Reynolds taking a speed car. What do you call it? A hot rod. While his buddy with a truck, they head on down to Texarkana and they steal a whole lot of Coors Banquet beer to bring to Georgia because it was illegal to sell Coors in Georgia at the time.
Yes.
That sounds amazing.
So, it's a fantastic movie and it's really fun. And it's also, I think, one of Jackie Gleason's last movies.
Yes, it actually is. Yeah. This future podcast idea, we need to watch Smokey and the Bandit and then have an episode where Xander fills in on his thoughts on the movie and we discuss the political history of regional beers and why that movie makes sense.
That's a good topic. Anyway, back to space.
Back to space. So, as everyone knows, we are gamers. We are gamers of all sorts. We play board games, card games, video games, role-playing games especially. But as of late, we've had a problem. We've become somewhat, well, especially one of our hosts, has become very addicted to space games. And NPC, I hate to say this, this is a surprise. This is actually an intervention.
I figured it was.
Yeah.
I can drink.
So we need you to get
an intervention where he still gets beer. So it's the best kind of intervention.
We need you to get honest about all the space games you're playing.
And why.
Okay.
And how can we help?
So I always come back to science fiction as my gaming genre of choice. You know, you can always run around through Middle Earth and stab some orcs, but that gets old. And almost every fantasy game out there, with a handful of exceptions, is the same damn formula. That formula for me just isn't as enticing in the long run. I always get bored with it. When it comes to flying around in space, though, there's just something that just satisfying deep down in the soul and the bones of flying around in a three-dimensional Newtonian physics environment that's just so fulfilling, especially when you have, as I do, what is called a HOTAS system, or an acronym standing for hands on throttle and stick, where you have, you know, the fully functional, basically not fully functional more or less, but, you know, simulated functions of cockpit controls.
Do you think there's much more kind of infinite possibilities in a gaming world with space, just because just by concept alone, there's just infinite amounts of planets you can go to and everyone can just be a whatever? Like, you were mentioning kind of Middle Earth and whatnot, like one planet could be a Middle Earth, one planet could be not. And just that just concept alone makes it a much more infinite and less kind of a linear gaming style.
Oh, man. Well, at least when it comes to role-playing at the tabletop, hell yeah. When your limits are the universe or the galaxy, there's so much more possibility there for imagination. And you can even take your imagination and allow more realism and expectation to structure that when it comes to a grander scale like that. Take, for example, fantasy worlds. Fantasy gaming world typically, for most settings, has how many intelligent races?
Six.
But when you think about it, from a sociological standpoint, from a physical standpoint, there wouldn't be that many intelligent races on one planet. I mean, if you want to get down to the sociology of it, one of them would have conquered and murdered all of the other ones long before most of them gained sentience.
I see you've also been to Earth.
Like there would not be some elder race with some younger race. No, the elder race would not have allowed the younger race to exist because, you know, survival of the species, all of that kind of stuff. So when you get to a fantasy game, you're like, oh yeah, I'm an elf and I'm a dwarf and I'm a dragonborn. And whatever, you're like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's go into the adventure. We all getting along in this happy society. After a while, I'm just like, man, I do love that we're all getting along here. But some of this just...
But you call bullshit.
Yeah. But with a galactic limit, you can have all of these peoples, but in different planets and different worlds. Some of them could have shaped these worlds to their needs, or others are just, you know, eking by in these colonies that are failed terraforming disasters or whatnot. Just again, the universe is the limit, whereas with fantasy it's more of a, your hand wave is the limit.
Yeah, fantasy often really requires gods in order to hand wave away odd exceptions.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had enough god with my gaming in the 80s. So,
there's a topic for a future time. So I'm asking this knowing full well the answer to the question. How many needles do you got in your arm, fat pal?
Okay, let's go through a list. No, let's take a step back and explain why space games have largely taken over my life. Now, I've always been a big fan of science fiction. I always go back to sci-fi when it, be it novels, be it television, movies, whatever, you know? Firefly. It always comes down to Firefly. Firefly is a wagon train into the stars, but it's a space show. And, you know, that whole group of people living on a spaceship with the void just inches beyond them kind of thing. It always comes down to Firefly in my brain for my gaming inspiration. So whenever I want to run a tabletop game, I can run a post-apocalyptic game for a while. I can run a fantasy game for a while. I can run a steampunk game for a while. But my soul's always like, but don't you just want to look up and go out into the black? And I'm like, yeah, man, I really do. So I started running a sci-fi game last year using the Alternity system. And when I run a game, I like to immerse myself in as much inspiration as I can to keep my attention span focused.
Please see our previous episode on gaming with attention deficit disorder. Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm on a huge sci-fi kick and I'm doing my best to just keep it going, you know?
Okay, fine. You've admitted you have a problem. Now let's talk about what you're actually playing.
Well, I've been playing a lot of PC games that you fly around in space. I mean, there's so many of them.
But which ones are currently your hooks, man? Give us the deets.
Okay. Well, Xander, I have just gifted with my old flight stick. It's a trusty Microsoft Sidewinder Precision Pro stick.
And I can tell by the adapter that's on it.
Yeah. Well, the adapter actually came with it. Yeah. It was sold with that adapter. When I acquired it, I was actually surprised that they kept the adapter. Because usually people will split them up and sell them separately to make more money off of people like me who will buy them separately because they need them.
So I will say that I think you have solved my biggest hurdle into getting into space games. And that hurdle that I've had is that I suck at flying.
Oh, yeah.
I suck at flying so bad. My brother-in-law bought me a space game because I was trying to do the flight sim for the first tutorial part and just like couldn't. Mm-hmm. I just kept crashing into all the things. And I went, if I had a joystick or some shit, this would be easier for me because on the mouse, it just wasn't working for me at all. Mm-hmm. Which is why I've liked space games like Mass Effect, where I didn't have to fucking fly.
See, it's a good one. Yeah.
I didn't have to fly.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the space games I like because of, again, the stories, you get to learn about the different species, the different timelines, the civilizations, the conflicts, and all that kind of stuff. And so I suck at first-person shooters, you know, which is why I like Fallout, because of VATS. Like, I don't have to, like, be good at this to get the story, which is all I really want.
Yep.
And so things like Mass Effect 2, I don't have to fucking fly because I suck at that. You know, I'm like, go here to there, spaceship. And spaceship goes, don't worry, bro, I'm good at this.
Yep.
Because I'm a fucking spaceship. And it just goes. And I don't have to fly.
So for me, I'm into a lot of different space games. And let's see if I can... I don't know the exact number because I'm just going to kind of do this on the fly. But there are specific genres of space games. I would say that probably the most popular genre of space games when it comes to variety wise is what's called a 4X game. 4X, I believe, was coined specifically for the original Master of Orion series of games.
Correct.
Which from way back in the day, and in Master of Orion, let's see if I can remember what the X's were. Explore, there we go. Expand, exterminate, and forget the other one. Oh, exploit.
Exploit.
Yes, explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate. So they're basically empire building sims. They are either real time or turn based.
All our bases belong to us.
Well, so that takes us to, well, okay, let's get to that in a second. When it comes to games like Master of Orion, where you're frequently both zooming all the way out into a galactic map and making decisions there, or zooming in really, 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 really close and making decisions on, like, you know, a colony or a planet basis and building fleets and sending them out to conquer, you tend to sit from the emperor's seat into those games more often than not. Then you will have what you were just alluding to, which is the bullet hell. The bullet hell game is classically a space game. Games like R-Type, or I think you were referencing a game called Zero Wing from where that meme came from. Gradius. But I think R-Type would probably be one of the most famous of the series. But there, essentially, you're flying a spaceship on a horizontal plane, avoiding bullets from the enemy spaceships, kind of stuff. I don't really play those. 4X games I can do from time to time. There's one called Endless Space that I'm just now getting into, and the possibilities are, shall we say, endless. Yeah. But there's also, like, very popular ones. Galactic Civilizations is another one, or Stellaris, I think, is currently the biggest one. Yeah, I've seen your name pop up on my Steam's list playing that one.
Admission, I am a huge Stellaris head. I especially love multiplayer as opposed to playing against the computer because, oh my God, you have to make very poor choices in how you design your race in order to not spank the AI.
The next one would be, I would say, the next most popular after 4X games, because I kind of took a tangent there for bullet hells. I don't really, they're niche these days. They used to be a lot more popular, but these days they're very niche. I would say that the next most popular after 4X would be Space Sims. And Space Sims are, well, there's a few different categories of Space Sims, but largely the general idea of a Space Sim is you're dealing with space physics.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of sitting in an emperor's seat, you're sitting in either the flight controller seat or the pilot seat, moving a ship or a group of ships around at a time.
So you were trying to get me into Elite Dangerous, which I believe is definitely in this category. And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I so desperately wanted to love that game. And the only thing that prevented me was my motherboard and CPU begging for mercy.
I loved Elite Dangerous. It is Space Trucker, the game. You fly from port to port delivering things or exploring. You can. It's a wonderful game where you can literally pull out a 1-to-1 representation of the Milky Way galaxy and just go in any direction. And there's still things for new, for players to explore that other players haven't. I think last year, towards the end of the year, the devs of Frontier, who make Elite, had stated that to date, since we launched this game, I want to say in 2015?
Yeah, it's like that old.
2015, players have discovered 0.0001% of everything that there is in this game.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah. Again, one-to-one representation of the Milky Way.
So you're saying there's a lot of space out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I used to be a very hardcore EVE Online player, which is also a space sim, although many people accuse it of being a business management spreadsheet hidden inside a game.
Well,
in all honesty, that was a plus for me rather than a minus. But, you know, going out there, exploring the universe, dealing with the non-AI driven politics was a huge thing for me. And, you know, it's there's moments where I get the itch to fire it back up, but I always push those back down because I don't want to go back to those dark days.
I was trying to look up what MMO I used to play in the late 90s. That was space-based, and I think it was Homeworld.
Homeworld was I've never played the Homeworld series.
I have. It's not an MMO.
Okay, then it's not the one I'm thinking of. But, shoot, I'm going to have to go and try this
but
again.
But that said, if you want a game that has a story that's going along as you play it, it's a great option. It's a really great option. It's a very broken game in a lot of different ways, but there's a lot of value still in there, especially in the remaster.
Well then, dear listeners out there, if you can help me remember this late 90s, early 2000s MMO I played that was in space, that had a lot of resource gathering and spaceship updating, not a ton of combat, but there was a little bit. I love that game. I don't remember what the fuck it was.
Question to clarify, was it a web browser-based MMO?
No.
Or did it have its own client?
It was a PC game.
Was it three-dimensional or two-dimensional?
Three-dimensional.
Okay. So, dear listener, please let us know, because I don't know what he's talking about.
By his so description, fun. I'd almost say he was playing EVE, but
it was not EVE. I know that for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I played the shit out of that game when I was in high school, and I loved it, and I don't remember what it was. It was, I think, the
was
first
MMO I got
into. No.
Anyways,
I'm just throwing it out there to the Ethernet world. They can go and help me with this at some point. Maybe I'll figure it out at some point, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And again, just the exploration aspects that you talk about. I mean, again, it was also a resource managing game. I built a dope-ass ship. I had a cool character, you know, flew across a galaxy going into spaceports. It was awesome.
So a lot of the games that I'm currently into are what, well, some people, not everybody, but some people call them freelancer clones. So we go back in the day, what was it, late 90s, early 2000s, I think, was when Freelancer was
late
like.
Late 90s.
Freelancer is held by many nostalgically to be the greatest space game ever made. And it was a space trucker kind of game, but ultimately, you know, you were a guy with a ship and you could go off and do fucking anything. So it's a great game. I'm not going to harp on Freelancer. Freelancer is one of those games, however, that a lot of people have in their mind when they're making games today, or when they're reviewing games that are made today that have some elements in common with Freelancer. So the generally the idea is you get to pilot a ship. It's probably going to be one of many different ships. You get a three-dimensional space to fly around in. You have full three-dimensional flight control. So move left, move right, move forward, move back. Incremental throttle going forward and back. You can also go up and down, or strafe up, strafe down, and even yaw, or left and right, you know, pitch and yaw kind of thing. So, and rolling. So these are all different things that you, as a pilot, will have at your control in these games.
Small correction. Freelancer came out in 2003.
Yeah, I was thinking it was early 2000s.
My brain flipped it in Wing Commander for some reason when Wing Commander went true 3D. So, small correction. Go ahead.
Wing Command. Yeah. Well, that could take us into the realm of Star Citizen, which we're not going into today.
please take me there.
No, that I think would require its whole other episode.
I have opinions.
Yeah. Well, we could also go into Derek Smart's Desktop Commander or yes. Battleship 3000 AD or whatever, Battlecruiser. There we go. But,
so tell us more about the games you are actually playing than the ones we merely have opinions on.
Okay, games I'm playing right now. Wait, hold on. I didn't cover all the genres. There's also RPGs, as we've seen. Mass Effect is probably the most well-known of those, mm-hmm. but there are some that kind of take that theme, maybe water it down a little bit, or kind of reduce the studio funding, but expand the intentions and the scope and, you know, the heart of the game. And Colony Sims are super popular these days, growing thing. And then, of course, finally, I would say that there are the roguelikes, or at least the ones for space, the FTL clones, as they're called. Mm-hmm. The FTL is the, procedurally generated, you can only go right kind of, live response, move a crew around and have your shit blow up because you made the wrong decision.
Very short personal shout out to the FTL mod for Space Station 13. I occasionally show up there. It's a great mod if you're a Space Station 13er.
We'll have to talk more about what that is. Anyway, the games that I'm currently playing right now. It's funny you mention Eve and its spreadsheet because I'm not playing Eve, but I am playing something that has many things in similarity with it. And it's a series that I didn't play a lot. I never actually played the series before this game, which is X4. X, just X, the letter X, is a long running series of space sim games where you can fly a spaceship. You can fly any spaceship in the game, actually. Anything down from a capital, from a tiny little shit fighter, all the way up to the biggest capital ship in the game. Like, if you have access to it, you can walk onto that bridge and fly that motherfucker around. It's not going to move as well as that fighter does, but and everything in between. Also, you can build your own space stations. You can mine asteroids. There's a whole economic simulation happening in the background that you can royally fuck up or take over as you wish. There are unstoppable aliens, or I'm sorry, more or less unstoppable aliens, but unfathomable aliens that you can't communicate with that are coming to exterminate you that could also fuck everything up. It is a galactic simulator, go forth and make your own story kind of thing, where the story comes through emergent play. Like, I've just started a new playthrough where I've decided I am going to be a mercenary company. I am not going to have armies. I am going to have a single me-driven fleet. And I'm going to sell my services to the highest bidder. And that's it. I am not going to conquer the galaxy. Despite those features being there, and despite me wanting to go take that thing of, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to role play this. And I'm having a blast.
Reminder, which game is this?
X4 Foundations, which just this month came out with a brand new DLC and expansion for pirates. Full pirate storylines. X4 is amazing. You start, there's three DLCs out now. There's one with these weird aliens called the Split. There's one about bringing it back to the Terrans and Earth and why they were separated from everybody. And now the newest one is Tides of Avarice is what it's called. It's the Pirates expansion. Each of their DLCs adds new custom starts. So you can start with like a story to follow. It's a light story, but it's a story that gives you guidance. The new ones are so good. One of them, you literally start with nothing. No money, no ship. You just got keel hauled. Now go forth and make a new name for yourself kind of thing. And it's
Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive given that keel hauling was intended to be fatal.
Yeah. Whoops, looks like we didn't kill this one. Yeah. Hope he doesn't come back and get us.
I would say there's a few other games I'm playing, but right now the one that is largely taken up my attention is X4. Yeah.
What else is in the basket?
Well, the ones that I want to play more of, there's a series called Evocron. There's Evocron Legacy and Evocron Mercenary. They aren't as graphically beautiful, but also that means they don't require as much processor power. And they're also co-op. Xander.
Yes. You have our attention.
Yeah.
And now I have your joystick. Mm-hmm. So
I also have a joystick.
Well, there we go.
I'm down.
Tell us more.
Why should I play this game again?
Open-ended, go make a name for yourself space trucker games. Ooh. Well, they can be. You can go from station to station, taking missions, picking up things, dropping things off. You can take passengers from point A to point B. Or you can be a fighter pilot. You can go out and fight wars. You can fly together and do stuff with Newtonian physics.
But are there dinosaurs?
I don't think there are dinosaurs.
Okay, I just needed to check.
Can we form a band and tour the galaxy?
You know, I don't know if there's a band mechanic in the game, but we can say we did.
Okay, yeah, excellent.
Part of role playing.
Yeah, that's fair.
We have to be a jizz band.
Jizz?
Yes. Reference to Star Wars.
I know what you're doing.
Yes, reference to Star Wars. If you remember the scene in the true first movie, A New Hope, the style of music that was being played in the cantina that Luke and Obi-Wan visited was called jizz.
Sorry, correction. The true first movie was called Star Wars.
New Hope was added later.
It wasn't called New Hope until the re-release.
True. Absolutely true.
Thank you, Xander.
The re-release.
I got you, boo.
When they didn't have cardboard stormtrooper cutouts in the background.
There are three Star Wars movies.
There are the true three. There are no others.
It has been spoken, and therefore it shall always be.
So I happen to know there are more than those two games you're playing right now. Yeah. What's the rest?
Okay.
Be honest. We're just going to go along. It's going to be great. Friends.
The ones that I would say that I've been taking up my time are a couple. There's an indie game called Spaceborne from a Russian or maybe Ukrainian. I'm not sure. From, I want to say, an Eastern European game developer. Called Spaceborne. Single person made this game, and it has elements of Mass Effect. It has elements of Freelancer. It has elements of Firefly. It is really, really good. You can do it with a gamepad, or you can do it with mouse and keyboard, or you can do it with a joystick. It's really versatile setup. It's a little janky. Eurojank, I don't know if anybody is familiar with this, but Eurojank at least is a term that we in America use to describe games that feel like they have like some cut corners or some jankiness to the way that you play them, you know,
as one might expect from a game created solely by one person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spaceborne, released October 5th, 2018. Developer and publisher is Barak Debak.
Yep.
Not exactly sure where Barak is based, but oh my God, this looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, there are limits to the game. It's a single character. You don't get to make a character. You don't get to change the model and whatnot. But there's a campaign mode and there's a sandbox mode. Like, you can start the game and just do whatever and avoid the story. There's politics happening. There's different factions waging war against each other in the background that you don't even have to get involved in. You can ignore that shit and do your own thing. It's wonderful. They just did a Kickstarter for the second one. It didn't succeed, largely because he didn't advertise it anywhere. But he's still going to make it. So it's supposed to come out in November. I'm excited. Yeah.
What about Asteroids?
You know, I had a lot of fun with Asteroids when I was 12.
Good talk.
Yeah.
I mean, you do realize that the Asteroids, the series, gets re-released every about 4 to 6 years, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
a remake of Asteroids. You know, somebody's nostalgia kicks in. They're like, I'm going to do a remake of Asteroids. And suddenly they got another Asteroids craze.
What about Space Invaders?
Man, so my dad, I will blame my dad for my love of space games. Because when I was 4 years old, he would wake me up in the middle of the night to get on our Intellivision gaming system.
Oh, Intellivision gaming system.
Space Invaders. But he referred to it as Space Turkeys. Space Turkeys. Thanks, Dad.
Is Missile Command a space game?
No.
That's a nuclear war simulator.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Any
sometimes it seems like your cities are on a different planet.
So one call out I wanted to put in here, because NBC was actually the one who introduced it to me. Star Traders Frontiers.
Oh my God. Yes. I can't believe I forgot that game. Tell me about it, Jacob.
So Star Trader Frontiers is a game about traveling the known universe, trading, exploring, and the game's actually very focused on politics, especially. It's one of the, I'm going to horribly mangle their name, Tice Brothers.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah.
Projects. I should know because I've backed now two of them, including their new Cyberpunk Kickstarter, which, oh my God, is that thing looking amazing.
You mean the one called Cyber Knights?
Cyber Knights.
Registered trademark from Palladium Games.
Fun fact, there's some issues around that.
Okay.
But anyways, you introduced me to that, and it, for a long time, was keeping me sane going to and from work because it's a mobile game.
Oh, yeah.
It is available on Steam for desktops.
Evolution of a mobile game. Because the original was the Star Traders Elite RPG, which is a mobile game. And then they did Star Traders Frontier on everything.
On everything.
Yeah.
Its graphics are horribly dated. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Its systems are very complex. That's a selling point for me. Its UI looks horribly dated. I love it. And I travel the known galaxy when I just want to have a little downtime, when I'm in a lift or on mass transit, or I'm killing time before I fall asleep. And I explore the known universe, fight other factions, and try to solve political problems.
I want to give a big shout out to the Trace Brothers here, because Star Traders Frontier, I didn't back it on Kickstarter or anything. I bought into it when they were in early access on Steam. And I want to say they released like 2 years ago. Anyway, they have released an update to that game almost every fucking week since then.
Yep.
Like once they launched it, they kept supporting it. I want to say that they have over 280 plus updates.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not just talking like, oh, hey, we fixed a color thing or, you know, one line of code. It's like every single update that comes out has been almost an overhaul of the game.
Absolutely. Like
we added this brand new feature that completely changes the way you can possibly play the game. And like I went back to play it last week, having not played it since it launched. And it's like, what the fuck?
One of my goals is actually to get an interview with them because honestly, they are people who love gaming and due to some of their posts, obviously love drinking. And so they are of our people and we need to talk to them just because they understand something that I think goes to all the games you've talked about. They understand that the core is an engaging play style for people and an engaging story that doesn't get in the way.
And it's a game that you can play any way you want. You can start this game. You can start Star Traders. You can start X. You can start many of these games, these simulation games, Evocron even. You can start it, you have a ship, you have maybe a crew, and you just like, okay, roll a die. I'm going that way. And when I get there, I'm going to roll a die, murder everyone, or trade with them. You know, it's so open-ended. And then you're like, all right, cool. I'm going to start an international crime or inter
International crime syndicate. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I heard, and that's what I was excited about.
Yeah, I'm going to start an intergalactic crime syndicate.
Oh, so you're talking about my Stellaris playthrough currently, mm-hmm. where I am running a intergalactic crime empire.
So I have this character that was from a RPG way back in the day that I ran, and she has since she started as just like a fucking fighter thief who had a lot of social skills. Anyway, she has become this character that I've turned into an NPC, and I use this name over and over again whenever I play a 4X in space game or something like that. And that name is Victriessa Partheni, Emperor of the Known Universe. And every time I'm given that option, I'm like, oh, this game allows this? Cool. She's going to conquer again. Yes.
Any final mentions, NPC?
Honestly, man, I got to give a shout out to the German developers of the X game. It's a company called EgoSoft. They do a fantastic job. They are a very small team, but they are clearly passionate about what they do. And you know what? Their games are buggy and janky as fuck, but they love them. It shows when you play the game that this was made by somebody who was in love with what they were doing. And they're fully moddable. And the mod community for X4 is amazing. Special shout out to QWERTY on the Nexus for X4 mod community. Nexusmods.com. It's a great place. If you've ever modded Skyrim or Fallout or just about any moddable game in the existence, you probably have an account at nexusmods.com.
Oh, yeah. 7 Days to Die, I have an account on because, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. And the developers and the modding community have made that game wait. There's a complete overhaul mod that changes X4 into Star Wars.
Oh, a total conversion to Star Wars?
Just saying, X4 is amazing if you're into that kind of thing. It's not for everybody. You know, some people are like, oh, you mean I got to deal with economics? I'm like, yes, there are probably some spreadsheets involved, but you don't have to. I'm doing a mercenary company. I'm deliberately not mining. I am deliberately not trading. All I'm doing, I'm getting ships, capturing them from pirates, bringing them into my fleet, and steamrolling the bad guys.
Wait a minute. I can have a spreadsheet with my business flow on the other monitor while I'm playing this game?
If you want, you never have to sit in the captain's chair ever.
Excellent. You can,
in fact, with their most recent mod on capital ships, they added personal quarters. So you can walk off the bridge into your personal quarters, open up the map, and never fucking leave it.
Excellent. Closing thoughts, sir.
If this is something that interests you, there are some curated folks on Steam who review these space games. There's people on YouTube that will play through these space games and talk about whether or not you might be interested in them. I will share some links to those curated reviewers and YouTubers. Space games have so much to offer anybody whose imagination extends beyond the atmosphere of the planet. And there's so many different ways to go about it. There are Star Wars-style space fantasies. There are Star Trek-style utopian space stories.
Noble Bright.
Noble Bright. Yeah, stuff like that. There's Grimdark, like 40K, and it's everything in between. There's Newtonian games where there's no sound in space and any thrust that you do will keep you moving until you correct that thrust. And then there's games like, you know, Elite, which are basically World War II dogfighters with a space sim attached to them. The galaxy's the limit. The universe, maybe. Beyond. Earth and Beyond. Was it Earth and Beyond?
Oh, my God. I think it was.
Because I played that one, and I fucking loved it.
I think it was Earth and Beyond.
Oh, wow. I think it was Earth and Beyond.
That sound. Yeah.
Just suddenly was like, wait a second. I I played in the beta for that, and I loved it, and then it got canceled.
Nope, that was it.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, you were like one of the only other people I've ever talked to on this planet who remembers that game.
Dude, I played so much Earth and Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have been where we first met?
No, we met on LiveJournal.
No, I mean like in the game.
Oh, we could have. We could have.
I'm just throwing out the possibility that I like.
Sorry, fan fiction about it.
Yeah. Above and Beyond, a great, great, great online MMO?
Yeah.
As opposed to Space Above and Beyond, which is one of the best military sci-fi television series of all times. I will fight you on that.
And much like Firefly, one of the best things that was ever canceled.
Yep. Anyways, he's
NPC.
I'm just Jacob.
Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
And we wish to invite you to fly with us in space.
Absolutely.
Join our Discord. Hop in, talk about some gaming fun that you may have had in space, or make some new gaming memories with us. Gamepad, keyboard, console, flight controls, doesn't matter. We'll play them with you.
See you, Space Cowboy.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your car. The Bikes, Dice, and Bars. Bikes, Dice, and Bars. Bikes, Dice, and Bars.
Now, here
check.
I hear a poppy. I hear a just Jacob. Right, watch your plosives.
Talk for a bit at your podcasting voice.
I love peanut butter.
I particularly enjoy part of past, post, and present participles.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy sharing peanut butter with platypi on the plateau above the pampas.
That sounds quite pleasant.
Yeah, it's very pleasant. Really nicely on the palate. Platypus.
You just got to do rails of peanut butter off of the tail of a platypus.
On the
Potomac. Mm-hmm. Or during a parade at Patagonia.
Y'all are fucking awesome. I just wanted to say that. Last few edits I've had to do, I've almost had to do nothing.
Excellent.
Aww. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. Like,
it took us 4 years.
The flow is good. I'm not cutting out pauses. I'm not cutting out stutters. It's good. I was sitting filled with joy as I was editing the last few. I was pleasantly pleased. Yeah.
No,
yeah. Sweet.